Good morning to you all, and welcome to the second lecture of the 2018 Palliative Care Lecture Series. Hospice New Zealand would like to thank and acknowledge Cancer Research Trust New Zealand for the generous support and funding to deliver these free lectures. The lecture today will be recorded, and it will be available on the Hospice New Zealand website. Please be aware there will be an opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. We would now like to introduce our guest speaker today. Rhea Earp is the chair of the Hospice New Zealand Māori Advisory Group and has a part-time role as the advisor for Māori services at Hospice New Zealand. Welcome, Rhea. Please go ahead.
Kia ora koutou. I ngā waka, I ngā maunga teitei, I ngā hau e whā, I ngā marae, I ngā iwi, I ngā kaimahi hauora o te motu, tēnā koutou katoa. To all canoes, to our mountain peaks, to the four winds, to marae throughout the land, to iwi, colleagues and health workers throughout Aotearoa listening in today, greetings. Greetings to you all. Ko te aroa te waka, ko tongoriro te maunga, ko te kaituna te awa, ko Ngāti Pikiao, Ngāti Whakaue, ngā iwi, ko Rhea Earp Ahau. The karakia, or reflection on slide 2, begins today's discussion, and it emphasises relationships and connections. Whakarongo ki te tangi a te manu e karanga nei, tui, 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 tuia. Tuia ki runga, tuia i raro, tuia i roto. Tuia i te kāwai tangata i heki mai i Hawai ki Nui, i Hawai ki Rō, i Hawai ki Pāmamao. I te hono ki Wairua ki te whaiao, i te ao marama. Ko rongo te pō, ka rongo te awatea. Slide 3. Listen to the sound of the bird. Tui, tui, tuia. Connecting to those above, to those below, and to that within. Connecting with those who have migrated on their final journey to Hawaiki. Long and large Hawaiki, distant Hawaiki. In a healing spirit, move from darkness into the world of light. Sense the night. Be aware of the coming dawn, the coming day. Slide 4. Before delving into the presentation today, I want to touch on the title of today's presentation, Māori Ora, Māori Mate. The term Māori Ora is concerned with a force or energy in life and living. May the force be with you may well be an apt contemporary translation. And the term is used in regard to living and inanimate objects as well as non-human creatures, and it's a term used in formal speech making with subtle layers of meaning depending on how it's used. So, could it apply to illness, death and dying? And how does it apply if the spirit is present but the person no longer living? With the new funds allocated to hospices in 2016-17, Tōtara Hospice in South Auckland and Mary Potter Hospice in Wellington had their joint proposal to develop an outcomes model for Māori palliative care approved, a model that could be used by hospices throughout the country. This project is being managed by contract with Te Ora, the Māori Doctors Association, and the contract was set up late last year. Their co-mātua, Sir Toby Curtis, gave Māori Mate as the name of the model, which can be translated as the energy and life force of illness, dying, and death. The contradictions in the concept that death has a life force set up an intense discussion amongst hospice speakers of Te Reo Māori. Amongst Māori, naming a person, a group, or a project is a process that has a great deal of responsibility attached to it. Until then, I had not realised that the whole phrase Māori Ora, Māori Mate was only used by a limited number of tribes in formal speech making. Sir Toby Curtis and myself share those tribal roots. Te Ora chose to go ahead with the name, and I believe the term will grow its own meaning over time, and I thought it was timely to signal the arrival of the model of Māori palliative care later this year, hence the name of this presentation today. And to celebrate the growth of Māori language consciousness, I'll be using the phrase huri te rau, to turn the page, to indicate the next slide. Huri te rau. In considering Māori palliative care needs, it is important to consider factors that make up the shape of whānau and that impact on family roles. I will focus on those demographic features and demographic changes. I won't be delving into the cultural issues, for example, language revitalisation, land and resources, or into wider socio-economic issues such as employment, income, education, justice. These all influence Māori communities and their health needs. For example, I'm aware anecdotally of an increasing number of grandparents who are now caring for their mokopuna, their grandchildren, because their adult children's lives have been ravaged. A range of issues may impact on whānau health needs and the ability of whānau to manage them. Today we'll just focus on the demographics. Huri te rau. The factors listed on this page also highlight some of the demographic aspects that should or could be considered when thinking about projected Māori needs, future needs. One element that is not on this list is migration, whether we're talking about immigration to Australia or other parts of the world, or internal migration in the country. In considering Māori health needs and health models, I want to highlight some of the broader features of the population, including birth and birth rates, looking at the age bands, the whānau size, life expectancy, etc. I should point out that I'm not a statistician, but I am interested in what the data highlights and how that will shape the future care of kaumātua, our older population. Huri te rau. This graph shows the shape of what we call population pyramids for Māori, and it shows the age bands and gender, shows the changes that have taken place between the census 2006 on the left-hand side and 2013 on the right-hand side. There are two things that are significant to me about these graphs. The first is the way in which the pyramids constrict in a Victorian waist-like shape between the ages of 25 and 40 years. This is the group that that will become prime caregivers to those above them when palliative care is needed. The second feature is the changing shape or the gradual extension of the base of the pyramid in the younger years. And what is noticeable is this group represents the dependents of the same group who will be caring for the older. Huri te rau. Professor Heather McLeod provided this graph based on Statistics New Zealand data and for projected births for 2016 by ethnicity. One of the emerging issues that we have to grapple with in Aotearoa is the changing ethnic mix of the total population. This graph highlights that the projected births for 2016 included 28% who would identify as Māori, the dark brown slice, almost 10% who would identify as Pacifica, the ochre brown slice, and 16.5% Asian. And now while we know that Pacifica and Asian categories represent a diverse range of ethnicities within their groupings, what this graph highlights is that the combined Māori, Pacifica and Asian projected births represents 54.5% of the total projected births. Secondly, while this graph depicts the projected births in New Zealand, it does not consider migration patterns. So this has implications for the way in which our population is going to continue to change in the future. diversity in our workforce is an issue that we've been grappling with for some time, but this graph highlights to me that we need to continue to reflect our changing communities. Kuri te reo. It's when we put the shape of families together that we can also see marked changes over time which shape and will shape the future palliative care for Māori. My family, shown on the slide, highlights some of those changes. My grandmother, top left, was 93 years old when she died, and she had given birth to 16 children. My mother, top right, was the youngest of 16. Her oldest brother was 32 when she was born. She had three living children, and I was the oldest. And she died at a much younger age than her mother, at 61. My father, bottom left, was the eldest in his family, was 84 years old when he died. His mother, who was Māori, died when he was only 10 years old, leaving my grandfather to raise four young children. For myself, I put all my eggs in the one basket and had only one child, my daughter, Arawhetu, shown in this picture with her husband Bobby and newborn son. And in the centre of my world, my grandson, Kaharo, close to 3 years of age now. So tracking down the male line, we went from five children, my grandfather's family, to four children, then three. The female line, however, is more stark. We have gone from 16 children to three children to one child. While the numbers will differ, the shape of the Māori family continues to change and the trend is fewer children, which will translate into greater responsibility on fewer shoulders in a whānau model of care. Haere ngā mate and farewell to those who have passed on. Uri te rau. This graph is the projected growth in Māori population from 600,000 to just over a million, from the census 2013, far left, to 2038, far right. So 2038, that's 20 years' time. This population base means that we as a society have to continue to find a way of dealing with the complicating negative social statistics for the sake of the population as a whole, but it also begins to highlight the change for Māori population that Māori communities needs to come to grips with. Speaking of the census, I do want to put a plug in for the importance of the census 2018 to be filled in online by the 6th of March next week. Kuri te reo. Professor Heather McLeod has developed some stunning work for hospices and the sector on New Zealand demographic features, especially death data or projected deaths, and its impact, therefore, on service development for palliative care. Her work is familiar to those working in palliative care. It highlights a rapid increase in the number of people who will be living and dying at a much later ages than we've been used to thinking about. This graph of projected Māori deaths year by year out to 2033 and by age bands by Heather McLeod looks similar to the ones we're used to seeing that she has put together for the whole population. However, some key features include the persistent but gradually decreasing deaths in the age of 40 to 64, so the pale yellow bands, the increase in the population numbers surviving for longer periods of time, in other words, an improvement in life expectancy and some of the successes of some of the work in the health sector. More Māori surviving to an older age, so the pale blue band being 75 to 84 age group and the dark blue band being the 85 plus age group. And an increasing number of those dying each year, moving from just over 3,000 a year to almost 5,000 a year. Puri te reo. This graph, I feel, is the most telling and starkly outlines the changes that need to be considered when planning future models and approaches. The dark blue bands are the predicted Māori deaths in 2016 by age group, while the light blue bands are the projected Māori deaths in 2038. The patterns highlighted earlier include the reduction of the number of deaths in that 40 to 64 age group and the huge growth in the number of projected deaths in the 70 plus age group, and a significant number of deaths projected in the 90 plus age group. And I think this graph just really highlights so starkly what some of the issues are when we are considering future models. Next slide, Huri Te Reo. So, what will it mean for health workers and health services? What will it mean for aged residential care? And for Māori communities to begin to consider how kaumātua care will be managed in the future. Puri te reo. So if we're looking at a 20-year projection, and hopefully we're looking at a way in which we can phase in some of those changes, health workers and health services needing to look at how they work with kaumātua. Whānau support to care for kaumātua is going to be an issue, and aged care. What do we want aged residential care services to look and feel like for kaumātua? And finally, palliative care for kaumātua. Huri te reo. Kaupapa Māori aged care is a little bit of a conflict in terms, but there we now have at least one that I'm aware of, Whare Tiaki, which is a Māori aged care supported living house within an ARC facility. The Christchurch Methodist Mission redeveloped their facility, Wesley Care, and they approached Kaitahu Iwi about the development of an 8-bedroom villa. They worked with Kaitahu and with the Māori health worker of the DHB to set up a kaupapa Māori supported living house. So this brings together the benefits of the ARC facility and what it can do and the support it can provide, combined with a Māori approach in their day-to-day living arrangements. Huri te reo. My hope for service development is one where cultural and quality health services are met, whether they be in preventative health, managing health issues, or in services associated with kaumātua and palliative care. Anecdotally, there's been a shift in the last few years, particularly for more use by Māori of ARC facilities. This may well be a feature of urban living, where social issues of employment and income support, housing and transport may limit or restrict what options are possible. Tia Karaka, the Kaitahu magazine, highlighted this particular service in their December 2017 edition with some very positive quotes from residents of the house and their family members. And a special thanks again to Heather and McLeod, who highlighted this article for me. Huri te reo. This particular quote, "She didn't want to live with me because she'd be home all day alone while I'm at work." You might think that the whānau are not looking after their kaumātua, but actually it's the kaumātua are wanting something that the whānau can't provide. This is a quote from the daughter of a resident, and I selected this quote because I did want to highlight one potential issue of whānau members becoming trapped by expectations or being concerned about being judged by others. The expectations and, to some extent, myths of kaumātua care by whānau at home can generate an awful lot of guilt when that can't be achieved. Helping our patients and whānau accept that they have done the best they can assists with the grieving process. Puri te reo. Having said that, research and practice data show that care by a whānau at home is the main preference of Māori patients. It is important that services delivered in the community to support that care are also culturally appropriate. Te Arai in Auckland University developed the series of YouTube Māori digital stories. It's a great video clip of a number of scenarios of care by whānau at home and can be considered as a training resource. Again, it's my hope that that we see the development of options that allow choice for culturally appropriate services for Māori in order to meet their needs. Hore te reo. Research recommendations can rather be like an elephant in the room. There are challenges. While there is a need to acknowledge the issues, at the same time, when I first started in palliative care, research references around Māori palliative care were non-existent. I did find a very dated article written by Sir Mason Dury, and that was it. I haven't listed the full range of possible references at the end of my talk, but note the extensive work that is carried out by Te Arai, the Palliative Care and End-of-Life Research Group, University of Auckland, the LILAC study, Life and Living in Advanced Age, a cohort study in New Zealand, again, Auckland University, this time the School of Population Health, and studies on Māori palliative care health literacy. One of the key challenges is the dual development of Māori health workers and Māori cultural competency for all staff. And the real challenge can be that development of Māori health workers. Puri te reo. So having reviewed again the research, and I have outlined and given references at the end of the slide, I just want to touch on the Māori Health Literacy and Palliative Care Research Series. There's three papers that are quite important here. They focus on communication and quality of service. That is how we understand or how understandable is the health professional and that communication, their communication with patients and whānau. The summary document by Ministry of Health, which commissioned this work jointly with the Health Research Council, have a range of recommendations that do deserve further attention and I believe will be valuable when considering a culturally appropriate service. One of the studies from Rauawa, our Kaumātua group in Hamilton, introduces the concept of cultural literacy. How well do health professionals understand Māori cultural values? Puri te reo. The health literacy research recommendations can be a little overwhelming and challenging, and I would like to see a way to break these down into practical, affordable and phased approaches. And we'll be talking to Hospice New Zealand about whether we can look at some of these. How to use future population projections then that take into account Māori population as a whole is in fact the challenge that we face in order to generate options and phased changes. I want to acknowledge the assistance and the work of Professor Heather McLeod, who is that demographer and actuary, Vanessa Eldridge from Mary Potter Hospice, who also assisted some months ago in this presentation, Te Arai Palliative Care and End-of-Life Research Group, School of Nursing, Auckland University, and the LILACs, Life and Living in Advanced Age, a cohort study in New Zealand, School of Population Health, Auckland University. They have numerous studies, and they have also done a number of studies specifically on Māori and aged older Māori. I also want to acknowledge Statistics New Zealand, Hospice New Zealand, Palliative Care Council New Zealand, Te Kete Hau Order in the Ministry of Health. And, of course, Palliative Care Council and Te Kete Hau Order are no longer with us. Next slide. Slides 23 to 26 are the references that I said I would outline at the end. So if you move through to slide 26, and rather than going through those, I will leave that to those who are interested in looking at some further references to use those particular pages. So kia ora koutou. Welcome to the challenges of considering Māori palliative care in the future.